In 2015, around 1.3 million people requested asylum in Europe. Many arrived on foot during that summer, tramping overland in long and bedraggled columns. Most were Syrians fleeing civil war, but others were from further afield: Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Eritrea. The following year, the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union after a referendum campaign in which the pro-Brexit tendency had repeatedly and cynically, and it eventuated, successfully summoned the spectre of the refugee and what refugees might be bringing along with their meagre possessions.
The rape's gone up, the children, the deaths, the crime rate, it's all gone up.
The lesson that refugee exflows can be a powerful disruptor, a weapon indeed of hybrid warfare, was clearly not lost on President Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus. For some weeks now, President Lukashenko has been deliberately fomenting a migrant crisis along Belarus's western borders. Earlier this year, flights, visas, and travel packages to Belarus became suddenly more available in Iraq. Iraqi Airways upped its Baghdad to Minsk route to 4 flights a week. Even less subtly, Syrian airline Chamwings suddenly found it necessary to operate a daily Damascus to Minsk service. Upon reaching Belarus, these arrivals have been directed towards Belarus's borders with its European Union neighbours. Thousands of people, mostly from Syria, Iraq and Yemen, have attempted to take advantage of this opportunity, as they have been sold it, of a new life in the EU.
We're doing everything to ensure this camp wouldn't exist, so that those who wish to do so, they get into the EU, and those who don't, we are ready to put them on planes, including Belavias, to take them back home. But these people are very stubborn. No one wants to go back, and it is understandable.
President Lukashenko has said the quiet part out loud, leering earlier this year that we will not hold anyone back. They are headed to enlightened, warm, cozy Europe. Sarcastic though Lukashenko was obviously being, it is nevertheless reasonable to observe that nobody has applied those 3 adjectives to Belarus during his dreary and interminable rule. The question prompted, of course, is why is Lukashenko doing this? There are a number of answers. The simplest, and one not to be underestimated, is that he's just awful. Lukashenko is a dismal bumpkin tyrant who has clutched Belarus in an iron fist since 1994, maintaining power through corruption and coercion. His most recent election victory in 2020 was an absurd fraud, even by his wretched standards. Earlier this year, Lukashenko ventured beyond the usual repertoire of domestic autocratic thuggery into international air piracy, forcing down an airliner overflying from Athens to Vilnius in order to arrest dissident blogger Roman Protasevich and his girlfriend Sofia Sapega. But beyond spite and paranoia and taking the atrocious callousness as read, these are, lest we forget, people being subjected to horrendous upheaval and trauma at best, there is strategic logic to what Lukashenko is doing here. As he well knows, the EU is twitchy about unregulated immigration or the appearance of it. It is a wedge that divides the bloc between members who bear the brunt of it and those who don't, and between members who are more or less relaxed about the idea of a multicultural society and those who are not. It drains energy and resources from EU countries. Poland and Lithuania are spending fortunes fortifying their borders with Belarus, and this week Latvia scrambled 3,000 troops on a previously unannounced exercise along its Belarusian frontier. And it forces the EU into conflict with the values it proclaims. Ode to Joy is a jarring soundtrack for this week's images of Polish border guards launching water cannon and tear gas at the proverbial huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And all of that chaos at little practical cost to Lukashenko. Everyone hates him anyway. Escalating sanctions won't bother him over much.
You can choke on your sanctions there in the UK. We didn't know what this Britain was for 1,000 years, and we don't want to know it now. You are American lapdogs.
And the crisis may even be leveraged. Another lesson of 2015 he will not have missed was that in very similar circumstances, the EU paid Turkey 6 billion euros after President Recep Tayyip Erdogan threatened to abandon control of his country's border with Greece, a threat he has since repeated. The key difference being, of course, that Turkey had a genuine refugee crisis from the war next door in Syria, not one it had imported specifically for the purpose of causing havoc. Lukashenko may come cheaper than that. Reports of a conversation he had with German Chancellor Angela Merkel suggest that he craves recognition of his most recent election victory. You'll have to imagine the inverted commas there. At any rate, it may not be Lukashenko who is really calling the shots here. Friendless, isolated, and landlocked, Belarus is economically and politically dependent on Russia. Lithuania's foreign minister, Gabrielius Landsbergis, has pointed further east, saying, quote, Russia is using this crisis to destabilize the EU. It's an excellent weapon against us, and if we are unable to make a decision, then you can probably say, look, the EU is ineffective, and that builds up new fires inside the EU. Mr. Landsbergis is not wrong about any of this. Russia, indeed, with characteristic mischief, suggested that Britain is to blame for the crisis, Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova raising the UK's involvement in the invasion and occupation of Iraq, almost as if Russia has never committed any invasions or occupations from which people have fled. There are right now around 100,000 Russian troops deployed along its border with Ukraine. It would be too glib to describe the Belarus crisis as misdirecting cover for an invasion, but certainly plausible to think of it as part of Russia's wider strategy of petulant geostrategic trolling. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.